Welcome to Exodus, California. I'm your host, Joanne Kraft, and my husband, Paul, will be your co-host as we share our story about how we left California and made our home in the rolling hills of Tennessee. Exodus, California is a podcast for Californians who've had enough and are getting ready to pull the trigger and make that move out of a state they once loved. Welcome to Exodus, California, moving to Tennessee. I am your host, Joanne Kraft, and I am here with my husband and co-host, Paul Kraft.
Hey, y'all.
So this is kind of a rare thing for us. Usually we would try and pre-plan our topics, but this is a topic that's been coming up with our clients. And so we're actually kind of going to be recording something that we think is affecting a lot more of you than just the people we work with personally.
And one of the things when you're considering a move is who's going to move your stuff. And moving companies and movers consistently rate at the top of complaints because you're dealing with a high stress situation that involves a lot of moving parts and timelines and everything else. And so added on top of that, there's some unscrupulous actors out there.
So whenever we put one of our clients under contract, whenever they're ready to go, they're under contract, they fly back home or they go home and they're excited. The first thing they're thinking about is packing. And it's a big, big task, especially when, well, if you're anything like me, you like to save a few things. If you're like Paul, you don't.
Right. The easiest way to move is to pack your stuff in the trunk of your car or in the back of your Suburban, and that's it. That's all you need. Everything else can be replaced. If you haven't touched it in the last 6 months, you clearly don't need it.
What I try and tell our clients is every single time is that unless you're going to cry over it by leaving it behind, leave it behind. You're not moving to a third world country. And like I say, unless there's some deep, deep meaning behind something you own, you're going to very much regret paying to move it out here.
And remember that typically with movers, you're paying by weight or by the amount of volume you take up in their truck. So whatever that item is, you're essentially paying somebody else to move it for you. And so one of the easiest ways to cut down on the cost of moving is cut down on the amount of stuff you're moving.
I've never heard anyone say to us, wow, I'm so glad I brought everything.
Yeah, usually people say, I wish I hadn't bought so much stuff because, you know, first you have to pack it, then you have to unpack it. And if you're like us, we still have boxes that we have not unpacked that for some reason we felt we had to move to just leave in a box somewhere in our house.
Today's episode is going to be about some of the warning signs and some of the things you really need, some of the pitfalls that you need to watch out for. But before we get into all that, I wanted to just throw out there a quick ask. We don't do this very often, but we would really love it if you would subscribe or share our podcast with people who you know are talking about moving to Tennessee. We'd also love it if you would rate us on Apple iTunes. It would help us a lot. It would really be an extra thank you guys for doing what you do. So it's a way also for us to get connected with you, especially if you leave a review or you leave some special words of kindness to encourage us from the other side of the microphone.
Yeah, telling us you're terrible isn't really helpful. Saying you're terrible because that's helpful.
Back to moving. Moving is one of the most stressful things. It always ranks up there with some of the top stressors in life, next to divorce, death of a loved one. I mean, moving is no joke. It can be very stressful. And most often it falls into, I would say, one person's camp more than the other. Somebody is home more than the other one is. It usually kind of falls that way, I've noticed. What do you think?
Well, it's also something that people don't do very often. So, you know, most people don't move cross country more than once in their lives. And so it's a very unknown area for people, which when you are in an area that you aren't familiar with, it's very easy for those that are familiar with that area to take advantage. And so part of this podcast is hopefully to let you know what some of your rights are and what some of your responsibilities are so that you go in with a fuller knowledge of what you can and can't do. And that can hopefully help things go smoother. Basically, if you get information up front, that can eliminate a lot of the problems down the road.
So before we get started about, I've written down at least four or five things that we need to talk about today. I wanted to share our moving story with all of you in case you haven't heard that part of our podcast episode. I forget which one it's on, probably on the first one.
Well, if you're a good listener, you've listened to all the podcasts from beginning to end, so you already know this story.
Exactly. No guilt there.
This would be for the slackers out there.
Exactly. So let's talk about our moving story. What happened with us was we started throwing things out. We started having garage sales. We started making a lot more trips to the dump. This really was harder for me to do because I would open a box of something and I would find something to throw away. Then I'd find something I wanted to read. Then I'd find something that was funny or sweet from my childhood. Then I'd call my sister. And a half hour later, I've done little to nothing.
I believe in the Dave Ramsey philosophy, get rid of so much stuff that the kids think they're next.
Exactly. So what we did isn't for everybody, but what we did is we used a moving company called ABF Freight. And for those of you in the police, in police work, I'll use phonetics, Adam, Boy, Frank, ABF Freight. And basically that was a company that you would rent space in a trailer by how much you thought you needed. And you would load the trailer and you would unload the trailer.
Yeah, I really wouldn't refer to ABF Freight as a moving company when we used them, because they didn't really do what you think a mover does. They don't pack anything. They don't box anything. They don't put anything on the truck. Basically, they drop off a trailer at your house. You're responsible for loading it up, but then you pay for however much space you use in that trailer. So, you know, they'll tell you, hey, the whole trailer is going to cost 10 grand. If you use 50% of the trailer, then you're paying five. The upside to ABF Freight is that it was cheaper at the time we did it, because all they were doing is providing the trailer and the driver. The downside is it can take longer to get your stuff here, because ABF Freight, if you only use half that trailer, well, then they're going to drive that trailer around a little bit to fill up the other half with stuff that could be dropped off. So you can track your trailer and you can see exactly where it's at. But it did take a little longer to get here maybe than with a traditional mover. So just kind of keep that in mind. But we found it to be a really good option.
And for us, we were in our 40s. We had teenagers, kids. We had a deep reach into our friend network for help. So it helped to have somebody in our small group at church. He was a truck driver, which was amazing, because he packed our trailer when it showed up. And it, oh my goodness, it was fantastic. And what we decided to do is we decided to keep our kids' mattresses and their beds, or excuse me, their bedroom sets, just because we wanted them to feel like it was home where they were going. Some of you may have kids who, you know, you're like, yeah, I can't wait to, you know, this is a dumpster fire to get rid of their bedroom set. But for us, we wanted to make it home for them. So we did that. We got rid of pretty much everything else. And it was helpful for us to do that. And for some of you, you're not wanting a moving company to, you don't want to move for the moving company. You want movers who are going to come in and pack things up and load things up and unpack things. And we'll be talking more about that here pretty soon.
But I do want to give a quick shout out to our small group back in California that helped us move. I don't want to name names on the podcast, but you guys know who you are. If you're listening to the podcast, we thoroughly appreciate you guys. We're still talking about you guys 12 years later and what a blessing you guys were. And to the truck driver that packed our truck, man, you did awesome. And again, you know who you are if you're listening. Thank you so much.
You're going to make me cry right now. That really chokes me up, because that was so helpful. If you want to show your friends you love them, if you don't move to Tennessee, show up on moving day, because there is nothing that says I love you more than showing up on moving day with your truck. Anyway, so let's get into the meat of this episode and the topic. So we've set aside a few reasons and a few things, a few topics as to why you guys really need to be aware of who you're using as a moving company. And first off, I've put down here, Paul, what about people who are trying to really cut costs and they use somebody who's unlicensed or uninsured? How do they find out somebody is or is not?
Yeah, so here's one of the areas where I just think, man, you don't really want to cut costs in this area. I mean, I get it, moving is expensive, but man, the stress that you're going to bring on yourself by going with the cheapest movers, you know, and two buddies in a U-Haul type of thing, I mean, it's just not worth the savings that you're going to have. So you definitely want to go with a reputable company, a company that's following the rules. Yes, you're going to pay more for that, but moving is already stressful. Adding the stress of that is just makes it so much worse. So use a reputable company. So your best friend when you move is going to be the FMCSA. Now everybody knows what that is, right?
FMCSA. Yeah. Frank, Mary, Charles, Sam, Adam.
So your best friend in this whole thing is going to be the FMCSA. And I'll give everybody a couple of seconds to remind themselves what the FMCSA is. Okay. It's the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and they're going to really be your best friends in this move. There's a ton of resources on their website. They're the federal agency that regulates interstate movers. Now, keep in mind, this only applies if you're moving across state lines. So if your moving van is going to cross state lines, then they're regulated by the FMCSA. And so if you're moving within the state of California or just within the state of Tennessee, the FMCSA is not going to apply. There are state agencies that regulate them. For example, California, it's the Department of Consumer Affairs. Tennessee, it's the Department of Commerce and Insurance. But since we're predominantly talking about people moving across state lines, the FMCSA is going to be your best friend. So one of the things you want to do is you want to ask your mover, what's their DOT number? Every interstate mover has to have a DOT number. Go to the FMCSA's website and make sure that the DOT number they give you is actually registered to that mover. Again, movers that are trying to defraud you, they don't really care about being honest with you. They're counting on you not doing your homework and your due diligence. So they'll give you a bogus DOT number and they'll just hope that you don't cross-reference it. You'll just assume that, oh, well, they gave me a number, therefore it must be legitimate. Take the extra 5 seconds, go to the FMCSA's website, put in their DOT number, make sure it's the same person. You want to make sure they're also licensed and insured, before you sign any contracts or agreements with them. Again, a legitimate company has no problem providing you with this information. If they're trying to scam you, or they're trying to take advantage of you, or they're a moving broker, which we'll talk about in a little bit, then they might be hesitant to provide that. Or they might start asking you questions like, why are you asking us that? Don't you trust us? I thought we were getting along here. Those are huge red flags. If they're not willing to provide you information, that's a huge red flag.
That is some good information.
Thanks.
That's some really good information.
Wow, you sound like somebody who should review our podcast.
So, secondly, we wanted to talk about, Paul, one of the problems and pitfalls of moving companies are the hidden costs and fees. And this can be incredibly problematic when a family is on a tight budget. They've put everything, they've counted every nickel and dime. And so, when you get that extra fee, that can be incredibly difficult and it can be sometimes financially devastating.
Well, and this is why it's important to know what your rights are before you enter into the move. So take an hour and a half, and again, go to the FMCSA's website and review the resources they have there. So there's a difference between a moving company and a moving broker. 99% of the time, when people fall into trouble, it's because they've used a moving broker. A moving broker is just that. They're the middleman between you and the moving company. So the broker will tell you, oh, yeah, we can move that stuff for you for $5,000. And then what they do is they go to the different moving companies and they offer that job to the moving companies. And they say, hey, we've got a family that wants to move, a 4-bedroom home to Tennessee. We've told them 5 grand, are you willing to do it for that amount? Now, the moving companies will typically say, yeah, sure, we'll do it for that amount. Now, the broker makes their money because they typically charge the moving company a little bit more than what they're offering to do it for you, and they make their money on that markup. Or the moving company will pay them some kind of referral fee for, bringing the business to them. So the moving broker has zero interest in whether or not your move goes smoothly or not. All they're doing is they're acting as a middleman between you and the moving company. So if there's an issue that comes up, the moving broker typically will kind of throw their hands up and go, well, gee, it's, the moving company went sideways on us. I don't know what we're, what happened.
Why would I go with a moving broker over a mover?
I can't give you a good reason why, to be honest with you, because again, most of the time you're going to have problems is when you're using a moving broker. Because a moving broker will provide you a verbal estimate over the phone based on the information that you give them. And here's almost invariably what happens on moving day. The moving company shows up and says, oh, we didn't know about this or that. I mean, yes, you said it was a 4-bedroom house, but you have way more furniture than a typical 4-bedroom house. Now it's going to be more money if you want us to move you. If you don't, that's okay. We'll leave. No harm, no foul. But
Jeez.
of course, this is a day that you've planned to move. And so it doesn't, really work out too well. And so then the moving company says, well, we can still do it, but it's going to be X number of dollars. And again, your conversation's been with the moving broker. The moving company shows up and goes, well, I don't know what the moving broker told you, but sorry, we can't do it for that amount. So I really can't give a good reason to use a moving broker. Here's the other issue you have with a moving broker is you're more likely to get cancellations from the moving company because a moving broker typically lowballs the estimate and then ships it off to the moving company who's like, yeah, we got a slot to fill, so yes, we'll do the job for you. But if a higher paying job comes along, the moving company cancels your move and goes with the higher paying job. And because your agreement with the moving broker, technically the moving company hasn't broken any agreement with you because you have no agreement with the moving company. So they have really no obligation to you. So if a better job comes along, they have zero problem canceling your move to go pick up somebody else's.
So I think one of the things that's vital is you do your homework. I know it's easy to go on Facebook groups and learn what, you know, the California to Tennessee groups or whatever you're looking at. And you're going to hear some nightmare stories and you're also going to hear some positive reviews. You need to do your own homework because ultimately you're the one that's going to have to pay the price in the end.
And so here's a couple of things to keep in mind when you're using a moving company or moving broker. One, ask them, are you the moving company or are you a moving broker? Again, I would tend to stay away from moving brokers. I know there's plenty of good ones out there, but unfortunately, there's just so many bad ones that you have to potentially sort through that the risk is not worth the reward. So if you're one of those, you know, reputable moving brokers, hey, more power to you. You know, you're providing a great service. The problem is for every one good one, there's probably 10 that are not good. And so you have to sort through the 9 to get to the 1. So in my opinion, it's probably not worth it. Here's the other thing. When you do hire a moving company, they can do either one of two things. They can give you a non-binding estimate or they can give you a binding estimate. And there's a difference between the two. A moving company can give you a binding estimate or a non-binding estimate. Most reputable moving companies are willing to give you a binding estimate. That's when somebody comes out to your house, looks at your stuff and says, okay, this is what we're looking at. Here's your estimate. And here's how much it's going to cost. You want that in writing. And the movers are, if they give you a binding estimate, they're prohibited from charging you anything more than the binding estimate. So when they show up to drop your stuff off, they can't give you an extra bill and say, oh, hey, by the way, it cost us more than this. If they do a non-binding estimate, which a lot of moving companies will do, and they're perfectly fine, reputable moving companies will do non-binding estimates, but they will still give you a dollar amount. They're prohibited from charging you more than 110% of that binding estimate amount. So therefore you're protected on the upside. Now they can charge you. They can say, listen, this came up. It's going to be more than that 110%. But then if you pay the 110%, they have to release your stuff to you and give you 30 days to pay the overage. So they can't really hold your stuff hostage if you pay them either the binding agreement amount or the non-binding agreement amount up to that 110%. And so, again, knowing what these rights are that you have before you go into the move can help you better prepare.
One other pitfall I have here on our list is poor reviews and a poor reputation. And it seems clear that we wouldn't use these companies that had some negative reviews. But the truth is, when we're a family that are trying to cut corners, sometimes we can ignore a few of the reviews to get the cheaper price.
And a couple of things when it comes to reviews. So everybody will say, oh, go check the Better Business Bureau. I don't think anybody really uses the Better Business Bureau anymore, but you can definitely check there. Keep in mind, I mean, moving companies, they rate amongst the highest in terms of complaints. People typically go on to complain. So, I mean, you know, negative reviews shouldn't be the end all to be all. Moving is a tough business no matter who you're using, and they might be the best company ever. But things can still come up that are beyond the control of anybody or things just happen. But also to be aware of companies that have nothing but glowing reviews. There's whole factories in China dedicated to writing fake reviews and fake posts for companies. So it doesn't take too much to set up a website, generate a bunch of fake reviews, and then put yourself out there as a legitimate company. So pay attention to the reviews, pay attention to the reputation. Again, your best bet is to go to the FMCSA and look at the motor carrier's complaint history there, because that is somewhat vetted by the federal government agency that's investigating them to make sure that, you know, it's a legitimate complaint.
So we just have a couple more left here, but before we share our last two very important pitfalls that you need to pay attention to, if you're looking for a real estate company to work with, we would love your business. Maplewood Realty is a real estate company that we started a few years ago specifically for you. For people like our family who moved out of California, years ago and really had to do a lot of things the hard way without resources and a lot of help to show us the way. And so we tout ourselves as a real estate company who understands, who can not just sympathize, but can empathize. We have a deep reach in the community, a deep network of people. So it's more than a real estate company and finding your house. We do want your success, and we want you guys to make it here and be happy with your move.
Because we've been doing real estate for well over 20 years. I've been a licensed broker since the early 2000s. But yeah, it was a couple of years ago, and we kind of decided to really kind of move into this more full time and really make it more of a real estate company. We have other agents that work for us now. And yeah, it was because we wanted to help people that were making this move, because it is something that not a lot of people do. So it can be hard to find resources to help you.
So we do have a heart. That's why we're doing this episode. We have had a couple clients recently with some different issues. And so now I think what I'm going to do now, Paul, with our clients, if they haven't heard this episode, I'm going to send this to them as soon as they go under contract so they can start, you know, paying more attention to some of these things. You can reach out to us at info@maplewoodrealty.net. And actually, we will know if you are one of our earlier episode listeners, because many of you still use our movingtotennessee@gmail.com, which is still a valid way to reach us. It seems to be a favorite amongst all of you there. So back to our pitfalls. Another pitfall that we have down here is lack of communication. And really, just think of it like a marriage with your moving company. Communication is key. You want somebody who is going to respond to you, who's going to be open, who's not going to, you want to avoid companies that are unresponsive or unclear about their policies. You want good communication.
Yeah, and so it kind of goes back to what we're talking about a little bit before. A reputable moving company will have no problem sharing information with you, providing you with a written contract, a written either binding or non-binding estimate. One of the things you can ask for from the moving company is, hey, what is your tariff sheet? So the tariff sheet is something that moving companies already put up front that say, here's what we're going to charge for X, Y, and Z. And they should be more than willing to provide that to you. If they're not, then that kind of indicates that maybe they're not above board. The other thing, and this sounds kind of maybe a little petty, but any moving company that is doing business across state lines is required to provide you with two brochures upon first contact. And it may sound silly, but a reputable moving company that's following all the rules will follow these two very simple ones. The one brochure is, I think, Knowing Your Rights and Responsibilities When You Move. I forget the name of the other brochure, but there are two brochures that are published by the federal government that they're required to give you up front. So if they're not providing those to you up front without you having to ask for them, that should be a little bit of a red flag. Like, okay, if they're willing to break this really minor rule that's so easy to follow, what else are they going to do? Where else are they going to cut corners? Or maybe they just don't know the rules themselves.
Last but not least, our last pitfall, which we have seen happen now, actually in the past few weeks, with a few of our clients. And it's very frustrating because by the time our clients reach out to us and want Paul's help with a contract, they've already signed something. And we would much rather, if you are one of our clients and you're listening to this and you're concerned about a contract, this is part of the benefit of using us as your real estate company. Just call us, shoot us an email, say, hey, can Paul look this over real quick before we sign it? And absolutely he can. So keep that in mind. So our last pitfall is bait and switch tactics. Some moving companies engage in the terrible and ugly bait and switch tactics. And basically they're quoting you a lower price to secure your business. But then, like Paul was sharing earlier, they show up on moving day and now they demand more. What are you going to do? Well, our clients have been over a barrel. Quite frankly, it was ugly what they did to them.
And so one of the things you can look for in the kind of bait and switch is, you know, you're quoted a price that just kind of seems really low compared to other quotes you've been getting. So if you've contacted a couple of, you know, name moving companies that we're familiar with, and then all of a sudden you get one that's, you know, half of that, well, again, that should be kind of a red flag as to, wait a minute, why are they able to do it so much cheaper? Also on moving day, when they show up and they say, oh, well, you know, yeah, you told us over the phone this and that, that's where you're really going to kind of run into the problem of the bait and switch is, if you've given a verbal estimate over the phone, and moving companies do this all the time, they'll say, well, tell me about your house. Tell me about what you're moving. Oh, well, that sounds like it'll be X. And then they come out and they go, oh, well, now that we've seen it, well, now it's going to cost Y. And that's really a huge problem because, again, you're on moving day at that point. And so you need to be very cautious of those. However, I do want to say that not every time that happens, it's a bait and switch. Things do come up during the move. Things can happen. Even the federal government does provide in their regulations that if it's an impractical operation that's defined on there, that they can charge, extra for that. However, they're limited to what they can charge you at time of delivery. So let's say the mover, delivers your stuff and they say, "Oh, by the way, we had some impractical operations that came up, and so now it's going to be X number of dollars more." Well, they can only require you to pay 15% of that at delivery. Anything over and above that, they've got to give you 30 days to pay. So again, knowing what your rights are, you don't have to pay that full amount up front. Also, be leery of places that only require or only allow you to pay with cash or, cashier's checks, because you really have no recourse. Whereas if you put it on your credit card company can step in and help you resolve disputes regarding overcharges or chargebacks, things like that. But with cash, I mean, it's gone, and now you're left with, having to go to court to try and recover your funds. So, be leery of some of those things. One of the easiest ways to avoid the bait and switch: ask for a binding estimate. The moving company might charge you to come out to give you that estimate. It might not be a quote unquote free estimate, but the extra money you'll spend getting a binding estimate will give you a lot of peace of mind. It gives you a lot more protection. And again, if the company's not willing to give you a binding estimate, then your question should be, why not?
When you're making a cross-country move, you're going to try with all of your might to try and foresee any upcoming problems or issues. And that goes from the move to the transition here. It may not be encouraging, but a lot of our clients have said it was actually encouraging when we tell them there are going to be things that come up. Blessed are the flexible. There are going to be things that come up. We want this episode just to help you to avoid as much as you possibly can. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to come cross country on that move and something won't be broken or those things happen. It just happens. So try not to hold on to your list of I'm going to make everything perfect tightly with a white knuckle grip. Just remember things happen. This is your opportunity to show your children that, hey, you know what? We're going to make it. And nothing is more important than you guys and us getting here and starting our new life. No thing that we're packing, no thing that we're bringing. You guys are most important to us. You need to remember that.
And remember that 5 years from now, when you're established here in Tennessee and you've created the life that you want to create, you're probably not going to remember the extra money that you spent on a quality mover. You're probably not going to regret having reduced that stress. So keep those things in mind when you're picking a mover. It's a difficult decision. Hopefully, we've provided you with some resources to be able to help make that decision easier, smoother, give you more confidence.
I need to end this episode with something that I tried not to laugh. I tried not to laugh when we were talking earlier because one thing that you all cannot see, which I can see right now, is I'm talking about getting rid of stuff and moving and packing. And I'm in my office right now. We're in our office where we record, and I'm looking around because my office is not decorated or unpacked, and I'm looking at boxes that have my kids' names on it. There's Christmas, one of eight boxes, Samuel's memories, our memories right there, Joanne's things. I've got scarves. Oh, wait, and I've got my varsity soccer jacket from high school. So, guys,
And mind you, these are things that we moved from the Bay Area to Sacramento in these exact same boxes
Oh
that
my
we then put in
gosh.
our attic in
Oh my
Sacramento to
gosh.
then move to Tennessee to leave them in the boxes. So
Oh
we haven't touched
man.
these boxes in 20
But
years.
wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look it. I am not getting rid of these th some of these things. So
Sure.
some I am, but we just have not had a lot of time. So just remember, whatever you bring, be willing to go to bat, or excuse me, be willing to go to the mat with your spouse who wants to set fire to all these things. So I'm going to tell you right now how much I love you for not lighting these on fire.
Here's what you do. Number one, don't get clear, transparent boxes so that you can
Yes.
see into what they are.
Yes, you
Make
have
sure
to.
that they're like a solid color you can't see through. Then what you do is you get rid of the stuff in the boxes and fill it with rock. Because they will know no difference. Because they will never open the box. It will never happen.
Right now I'm looking at my license from when I was 16. Oh my gosh, look at right there.
That's it.
Oh my gosh,
That'll come
that's
in handy.
okay, that's hysterical.
It's been in that box since she was 17.
All right, guys. Hopefully this helped you guys. We do care about you guys. We love our clients, and we want you guys to have the most smoothest, least expensive move here. We hope this helps you.
And if you're the type of person that loves moving boxes, please come to my house and move some of these boxes out of here. I don't even care which ones you take. Just whichever ones you think are the prettiest. Just get rid of them.
You can reach out to us by email. That's moving to tent. That's Joanne. Stinkers. You can reach out to us by phone at 615.
Whatever random email address you want to use, just pick one. Doesn't even matter. It'll get to us. All right, darling. Barbecue's ready.
Thanks for listening to Exodus California Moving to Tennessee. We are so grateful for listeners like you. Show us your appreciation and subscribe and share this podcast with all your friends and family. And if you'd like to talk to somebody from our office, you can email us at info@maplewoodrealty.net. That's info@maplewoodrealty.net, and we can get you started on your own personalized real estate listings, because we'd love to help you make Tennessee home.